We're talking about what it means to be a traitor. That Jesus has saved us for a reason. We just sang that wonderful hymn, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout it across the land. But we need to also be aware of and be mindful of and be purposeful in living out why Jesus saves us. I've said this before and I'll remind you often. Jesus didn't save you so you could go to heaven. It's a wonderful byproduct. It's a wonderful opportunity we have. The hope of ours in salvation is that we will go to heaven because Jesus died and paid for our sins and made a right relationship between us and God. But He didn't save us just so that we could get to heaven. He saved us so that He could transform us, so that we could have a right relationship with Him. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. And then in that living life, day to day, in the few short years we have here, He wants to use us to reach a lost and dying world, to be an example of what it means to live in right relationship with God, to see the difference that God makes in a life. He wants us to be His demonstration of grace and mercy and forgiveness, the hope of the world. So He saved us truly to be traitors, to trade in the temporary, the American dream, what we want, for what God wants. Trading the temporary for the eternal. We looked at last week how we are investors as Christians. We're to invest. God gives us stuff. God gives us time. God gives us talent. God gives us resources. And He expects us to invest them into people's lives and then invite them to know Jesus. A trader invests and invites. Invests and invites. Invests and invites people to know Jesus. And I pray that as we go through this series on stewardship, that we can have a change in our way of thinking. That stewardship's not just about money. It's not even about giving of our time, our talents, or our resources. It's about investing. When you give and it's, oh, I've lost what I've given away. An investor takes what he has, invests it, and expects a return on his investment. We're expecting eternal returns when we invest in people. We're investing so that God can reap another harvest in the souls of men. We're investors, not stewards, as we so often think about it. Well, today, as we continue this series on investing and becoming traitors, I want us to look at the example of Jesus and His call of the disciples and what He called them to do. He called them, as He calls us, to trade in their existence for a purpose. You know, one of the prevailing thoughts of today that secular humanists have, people that have rejected God, say, well, we just live and then we die. And then there's nothing. Hopelessness prevails in the world because they've rejected God. They've rejected the fact that God created the earth, created them with a purpose in mind. And they just simply were here by chance. And we live, we die, and it's over. That breaks my heart that so many people have bought into that lie of Satan. That this world is all there is. And you just have to squeeze out of it everything you can and enjoy it. Because once you die, it's over. But Jesus taught and God taught through the Scriptures, Old Testament and New, that this time is short. It's just a vapor. It's a blink. It's a flash in the pan. And then there's eternity that follows. And Jesus said, look, for these few years that you're here, I want you to invest. I want you to trade this temporary world, these temporary things, these temporary ideas and desires. I want you to trade them, this existence on earth that so many people are just struggling through. I want you to trade your existence for a purpose. If you have your Bibles in Luke chapter 5, this is when Jesus is just beginning His ministry. He's already had the 40 days in the desert as He was being tempted by Satan. It says that He came out on the other side of that. If you look in chapter 4, in verse 4, said He came out in the power of the Spirit. He went through that time of testing, that time of trial, that time of temptation. And when he came through on the other side, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he came back to Galilee and he began to preach and he began to teach. And he went to the synagogue, if you look back in chapter 4. And he goes to the synagogue and he gives this great statement from Isaiah. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord," beginning in verse 18 through 19, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release from the captives and to recover sight from the blind and set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Then in verse 21 he says, "And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus has come out of the temptation. He's filled with the Holy Spirit and he comes and he starts his ministry on the earth in Galilee. And as he's starting his ministry, it says, if you read the rest of chapter 4, he's going around and he's preaching the word. He's healing the sick. He's causing the lame to walk. He's casting out demons. He's doing some amazing things. And then it comes times he says, okay, I'm going to start inviting some folks to follow me. I'm starting to call some disciples. And that's where we're at in verse 1 of chapter 5. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. It's another name for the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from land. And he sat down and he began teaching the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and we caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which he had taken. And so they were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful that you are a God who enters into our existence, who enters into our lives, who inserts yourself into our circumstances to draw us out, to call us out to something greater, something more than just living day to day, ho-hum, muddling through life and its struggles. And God, today I pray that as we look at this passage, that Lord, you would begin to open our hearts to see that we're called to something more than just living. We're called to something more than just existing. We're called to something more than just making it through to the end. But we're called to accomplish your purpose. And God, then I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the example of Jesus and how he called people and what he did to invest and to invite. God, may we pray and seek ways that we can do the same thing in the people that are around us. Lord God, we love you and we praise you and ask that you would change us today as we meet under your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you look in all the Gospels that are recorded, all four of them record the calling of the disciples. Now, if you look in Matthew, Mark, and John, this same event takes place, but it's way more abbreviated. There's not a lot of details. It's just simply Jesus came up and said, "Hey guys, go out here and cast your nets." They caught a bunch of fish. Jesus said, "Come, I'm going to make you fishers of men." It's real abbreviated. That's why I love Luke so much. Luke is a detail guy. And Luke does more with this passage than any of the other Gospels because he begins to give us some insight into what Jesus did, what he said, the circumstances around it, and helps us to understand that that God does more than just say, hey, come follow me. Because most of the time when we read this, that's what we get out of it. And for years, that's what I focused on, that Jesus came, he did some cool stuff. He called some guys, say, look, come follow me. They dropped everything and left. And we wonder, why didn't that happen today? Why don't I have that kind of faith where I just drop everything and go? And we struggle with that. And sometimes we feel guilty that look, I'm just not dropping everything and going. But I want you to hear what Jesus did. I want you to see the effort that Jesus took before he ever called Simon to come and be a fisher of men. And if you think about your life as Jesus pursued you, if you're a Christian, before he ever called you to salvation, he was involved in your life. He began to do some things to get your attention, to open your eyes, to open your heart. He pursued you before he ever called you. And church, we need to understand that part of investing is pursuing people where they are. Instead of just going out and telling them, look, you're a sinner, you need to get saved. Okay? There's so much more to it. So much more to it. Well, I want us to back up just a little bit again into chapter 4, because there's some things that Jesus did before he ever met Simon on that day on the bank of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus developed a relationship with Simon. Jesus invested in Simon before he ever got to this point and said, I want to make you a fisher of men. And I want us to look at how Jesus invested in Simon. And then I want us to think about how can we likewise invest in other people before we ever call them to repentance. Jesus earned the right to call him to repentance. And church, we've got to do the same thing. Today, people outside the four walls of this church, many people have been burned by the church. Many people have been hurt by the church. There's some that look at the church with great skepticism, and we've got to earn the right to share the gospel with them. And we've got to be very intentional about it. Well, I want to submit to you that Jesus started working in Simon's life and investing in Simon well before this morning. Look back up to verse 38. Jesus had been preaching in the area around Galilee. He had been teaching. It says that he had healed some of the sick and he had caused some lame to walk. He'd been casting out some demons. And sometime in that time, he began to develop a relationship with Simon. Because look in verse 38, it says, then he got up and he left the synagogue and he entered Simon's house. Somewhere along the way in Jesus' ministry, he struck up this relationship with Simon in such a way that Simon and his family felt comfortable with Jesus coming to his house. He got an invitation to come and eat a meal with him. So there was a relationship that somehow Jesus had developed. And when he came, look what happened when he got there. It says, now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left, and she immediately got up and waited on him. Now some would say this was more a curse than a blessing. He healed the mother-in-law. But what I want you to see is that Jesus had in his preaching, in his teaching, in his going about what God had called him to do, somehow, some way, he had developed a relationship with Simon. He intentionally got to know Simon in such a way that he was able to be invited to Simon's house. So he started talking with Simon, and Simon was around when he was preaching, and Simon was there when he saw the people getting healed and the demons being cast out. And in the middle of all these crowds, in the middle of all the busyness of ministry, Jesus focused in on a relationship with a dirty, stinky fisherman named Simon. Now Simon was a nobody. In that day, a fisherman was just above a tanner. A fisherman was somebody who worked hard all night, slept during the day, took care of that. They were constantly working, busy. You couldn't be a successful fisherman and just do it on the weekends or just do it when it felt like it. You went out every night and you let out the nets and you spent all night trying to catch enough fish for your family and then to sell in the market so that you could provide for your family. And I'm going to tell you, fishing is hard work. Now, not like you and I fish, but I'm talking about like these guys fish. It's hard work. And I don't know if you've ever been fishing. I'm sure you have. But anytime you fool with a fish, you start smelling like fish. And you spend all night fooling with fish, and you're going to stink like fish. And eventually that fish smell is never going to get off of your body, out of your clothes, and you're just going to stink. Well, Simon stunk. But Jesus got beyond the stink and developed a relationship with this lowly fisherman. And this fisherman invited Jesus to his house to eat with him. And Jesus came, and as he came in, this mother-in-law was sick. And I want you to notice that when Jesus performed this miracle, and this is important, I want you to hear this. Jesus healed her with no strings attached. Notice when he healed her, it says that he simply healed her and she got up and started serving. He didn't heal her and say, okay, now I've healed you, now you've got to make sure you go to synagogue every Sunday. I've healed you, now you've got to make sure you start doing all the things right. I've healed you, now you've got to get up and you've got to start serving. You've got to start following me around. He didn't do any of that. He just simply saw a need and he was able to meet it. So he met the need with no strings attached. And I'm going to tell you, that got Simon's attention, I'm sure. He said, I've seen God do some things in other people's lives, but now God's investing in my life. God's investing in my family. God's doing something in my family. God cares about me. And see, that's what investing in people's lives is to accomplish, to help them see that, look, there's no strings attached. We just want you to know that God loves you, God cares for you, God knows your troubles, and if we can do anything to meet your need and to help in your circumstance, we want to do that. That's just because we love you. And we love you because God loves you and He first loved us. Look, we don't expect anything from you. We're not asking for anything. We're not wanting you, we're not requiring you come to church. If you want to come, that's great, but there's no strings attached. We just love you. So as Jesus developed this relationship with Simon, it moved from a relationship, a casual relationship, where he was invited into Simon's house. And as he was there, he saw a need. He met that need with no strings attached. And then we get to verse 1. Another time when Jesus was teaching, he wound up along the seashore along Galilee. And he was teaching and he was preaching and the crowd was so big and they began to press. And guess what? Simon was there. They had just had a long night of fishing. But as Jesus was preaching to the crowd, Simon and his co-workers were over here working on their nets, cleaning their nets, getting all the trash fish out of them, seeing if they have any holes to mend them up that morning. So it had been a long night, still had a lot of work to do, but Simon is there listening as Jesus is preaching. I don't think it's any accident that Jesus was at that place at that time. Now see, Jesus didn't say, look, Simon, I want you to hear what I got to say, so you come to the synagogue. I want you to come to church so you can hear what I got to say. Jesus went to where Simon was. Jesus didn't expect Simon to come and after him yet. Jesus didn't call him to come and drop everything and follow me yet. He went to where Simon was so Simon could hear the truth, so Simon could have an opportunity to see God at work and the difference is making in lives. And he wanted Simon to hear, and he wanted Simon to come, but he wasn't trying to force him into church. He was willing to go where Simon was at. Well, church, that's part of investing. Getting out there where people are, inserting our lives into theirs in such a way that we can bring Jesus into their situation, where we can bring the Word of God into their hearing, where we can live life with them. And just bring Jesus as we're going. So Jesus was there and he was preaching and he saw these two boats there, and he got into one of the boats, and it happened to be Simon's boat. And he said, hey, Simon, I want you to come and push out a little bit. I'm going to preach, but I need to get away from the people just a little bit. Give me a little buffer so they don't wade out in the water. And you just come out here and you sit with me and back me out here and make sure I stay kind of close to shore where they can hear me. I want you to see, he's still investing in Simon. He invited Simon to get involved in his ministry in a non-threatening way. He said, look, Simon, this is what God wants me to do, and this is what I'm teaching and stuff, but I need your help. Can you come along and help me? Can you push me out in the boat and make sure I stay right here where the folks can hear me? And they won't keep pushing up against me. You know what that would look like in our lives? You're at work, or you're with a friend that you know doesn't know the Lord, and you've had an opportunity to talk with him, and you're doing life with him, and you've got a relationship with him. You've invested in him. Maybe you've met a need or something, and now you there's somebody in the hospital, a coworker maybe, a mutual friend maybe. And you said, hey, I'm thinking about going by the hospital and seeing old so-and-so. You want to go with me? So they're going along with you, and you're going for the purpose of praying with that person. And say, hey, I want you to come with me. And at that point, you're sitting there talking. It comes time to leave, and you're getting ready to pray. And you say, hey, old so-and-so, I'm going to pray with our friend here. And hey, would you join with me? And let's just hold hands, and I'm going to pray. And we're going to ask God to intervene. Now, they don't know God, but it's a great opportunity for them to participate in a very non-threatening way. Just stand here and hold my hand while I pray. Maybe it's somebody you know that's in need, and you've got a mutual friend or a mutual relationship that they need something. You say, hey, you know, oh, so-and-so is in need. They're struggling right here. Say, yeah, I've heard about that. Hey, why don't we just, you know, I put in $20, you put in $20, and let's get it to them and help them out. He ain't saved. He ain't got any idea about God. And you know that. But you're asking him to participate in something that God can do so that he can see God at work. It's non-threatening. It's I'm not asking you to pray. I'm not asking you to come to church. I'm not asking you to do anything. But let's just go love on some people, somebody that we both love, and let's do something for them. Very non-threatening. Well, that's what Jesus did. He said, Peter, buddy, I need your help a little bit, okay? Just push me out here and make sure I stay right here, and I'm gonna teach them, and you just sit here. All I want you to do is make sure the boat stays where it's supposed to be. Not gonna cost you anything. I'm not gonna ask you to do anything. You just sit here and make sure I stay where I'm supposed to be. Peter does that. Jesus preaches. He's done, and it's probably middle of the day by now. Jesus turns to Peter and says, hey, Peter, I want you to go out to deep water. Let down your nets for a catch. Now, this is something that's kind of interesting, because he's inviting Peter to do something in a way that he's never done it before. Peter's a fisherman. Peter knows how to fish. He's a professional. Jesus is a teacher. He don't know squat about fishing as far as Simon's concerned. But Jesus says, look, Simon, I want you to do something that you always do, but I want you to do it a little bit different way. See, Simon stated the obvious, said, Master, teacher. See, he recognized that Jesus was somebody important, but he didn't know really who Jesus was. He just knew he was different. So he said, Master, we fished all night, and we didn't catch anything. See, Peter said, look, I've been doing it like I'm supposed to be doing it. I've been doing it like I was taught to do it. I've been doing it, and I'm failing at it. We tried, we worked hard, and it's just not working out. But because you said so, I'll go out here and I'll let down the net. Now, I want you to notice something very, very, very small, but I think very important. Jesus said, I want you to go out in the deep water, and I want you to let down the net for a catch. Simon said, okay, I'll go out and let down the net. He really wasn't expecting to catch nothing, because it's not how you do it. It's not how he was brought up and taught to fish. It's not how he's always done it. Because the problem was, Jesus just told him to do something that is completely wrong on so many ways. That, first of all, you only fish at night, because that's when the fish come out of the deep water into the shallow water, and they begin to feed. They begin to school up, and they start swimming the edges looking for food. So as a fisherman, you go out at night, and you can stay in the shallow water because you don't want to get out in the deep water, out in the middle of the ocean, out in the middle of the sea, because storms may come up. Your boat might start springing a leak. There's bad things that can happen when you get outside of swimming distance from the land. So you just didn't go out in deep water and it was harder to catch them. You got small nets, small boats. They can't go very deep. The fish are deep during the day in deep water. So it was so wrong on so many levels as far as Simon was concerned. But because Jesus had invested in him, because Jesus had developed a relationship with him, because Jesus had helped meet a need in a non-threatening way without any strings attached, because Jesus had invested in his relationship. All right, Jesus, because you've invested in me, because of our relationship, I'll try it your way. I'm not expecting any catch. I'm not expecting anything, because it just goes against everything I've always known. But I'll try it. Now, what does this look like for us? We've got a friend. They're not saved. We've developed a friendship. We've invested in a relationship. We've been there for them through thick and thin. Things are going tough. And they're doing life. And it seems like they're spinning their wheels. Their marriage maybe is in trouble. Maybe their finances are in a mess. Maybe they're doing things like they've always done it, and work is just, man, it's just rough. And there's an opportunity to say, look, hey, I've been right where you're at. But this is what the Bible teaches, and I tried it, and guess what? It worked. And I don't want you to do anything different than you're doing. I just want you to do what you've always done. But I want you to just give Jesus a shot and see if he'll come through for you. Try it this way and see if God doesn't make a difference. And see, that's what Jesus did. He said, look, I know you didn't catch anything last night. I know it's not the way you're supposed to fish, but hey, let's go out in the deep water and I want you to cast your net and let's just see if God will do something. So he went out and he cast the net. God showed up. Said the net was so full, he started trying to pull it in the boat, and the net started tearing. So he starts hollering at his friend. Simon's getting excited by this. He says, look, hey, James, John, you guys come on out here and help me, man. We got more fish than we've ever caught before. You come on out here, and these are big fish too, man. This is amazing. Come on, let's get these things in. We're going to eat good tonight. We're going to have plenty of money. Come on, guys. So they came out there. They got it. They started loading the boats, and it says that they had so many fish that both boats started to sink. God showed up big. It says when they got back to the shore, Simon looked at Jesus and he said, Lord. Remember the last time when Jesus said, let's go out and cast the nets in deep water? He said, Master. Because Jesus invited him to do something that he'd always done in a different way, and God showed up, it changed his whole outlook. It changed his whole opinion. He looked and said, Lord, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man. Now, church, I want you to hear me here. Because this is where we have driven so many in the world away. Jesus never once pointed out Simon's sin. Never once. Simon was a sinner. Simon knew he was a sinner. When God showed up, God pointed out his sin, and he was very well aware of it. Jesus never once had to say, well, you've got to get this right before you can come be a disciple of mine. Okay, Simon, God's pointed out you're a sinner. Okay, now what you going to do to fix it? Never once. Did he say, you've got to fix something before you can ever come follow me? He never once did he say, you've got to start living right before you can come and be my disciple. Start walking with me. He simply said, Simon, don't be afraid of me. You've got nothing to fear from me. Because remember what Jesus said in John 3:16-17? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17, beautiful passage. For God did not send the Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Jesus told Simon, you don't have anything to fear from me. And when God begins to work in the hearts and the lives of our friends, the people we've invested in, we need to remind them constantly, because when they're confronted with their sin, they're going to think, I'm not good enough for God to love me. I've done too many bad things for God to love me. I'm a mess. I've got to get all this straight before I can come to church. I've got to get all this fixed before I can be acceptable to God. No, you don't have to be afraid of Jesus. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to follow Him so He can transform your heart and your life. Jesus said, look, don't be afraid. You've been fishing all your life. I want to make you a fisher of men. See, what He invited Peter to do, or Simon to do, was give up his existence of getting up every morning and making sure the nets are right and getting ready during the day, taking a nap when he can, going to work all night long, fishing, scraping by, barely getting by, barely having enough to feed his family, barely having enough to make a living, being condemned by the world for his sin, being snubbed by the world because he stinks and he smells bad. And look, I want you to give up all of this and just trade your existence of just getting through life for a life filled with meaning and purpose. See, that's what Jesus is offering to all of us. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that you may have life and have it to the full. We don't need to be afraid of God. Nobody needs to be afraid of God. Nobody needs to be afraid of Jesus. They just need to come and let Him take their existence and give them purpose. It says that Peter, Simon, took Jesus up on it. He left everything he had and he followed Jesus. But then when Peter, Simon, left everything he had and he started following Jesus, what happened to his two buddies? James and John. Because they saw what God had done in Simon's life and the difference that God can make, they left everything too and followed. Because they saw that God loves Simon, that God can do amazing things if we'll just do life His way, that God is not asking us to earn anything, He's just wanting to love us and then lead us to a life full of purpose and meaning. Well, church, that's all we've got to offer to folks. We need to remind them, look, you don't need to be afraid of Jesus. Jesus isn't expecting you to be perfect. Jesus isn't expecting you to get everything right before you come to Him. You just come and follow Him. At that point, that day, after Jesus had invested in this relationship, finally, after He invested for a while, He invited him, look, come follow me. Simon still wasn't perfect. Simon still didn't really know who Jesus was, because later on you hear, are you really the Christ? Eventually he got to the point where Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He finally got it, but then he still didn't have it all, because the night in Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested, what did Simon do? I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I didn't have nothing to do with the man. And he cursed and he said, I don't know him, three times before the cock crowed. Simon still didn't get it all. But on that day, he started his journey with Jesus. And that's what we invite people to. Just start your journey with Jesus. And He'll be at work in your life. He'll change your heart. He'll change your desires. He'll make a difference like you've never imagined. You just keep walking with Jesus. You don't have to be afraid. He will do all the work if you'll just surrender and follow. So, church, I want us to trade our existence. See, we're a church. We come together on Sundays and we sing and we do church stuff and we exist. And like so many churches, we've forgotten our purpose. Our purpose isn't to just come to get together. Our purpose isn't to sing certain songs or not sing certain songs. Our purpose isn't to come together and fight for power and influence. When that happens, we're just existing, and God is being defamed, and people are dying and going to hell. God called us to invest and invite. Take what He's given us and invest it in people and invite them to a journey with Jesus. And then walk along that journey with them. Now, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I want you to hear today the invitation of Jesus. You don't have to be afraid. You come. You don't have to be perfect. You come and start your journey with me. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. I've come not to take away, but to give. You trade me your existence, and I'll give you a life of purpose and meaning. You trade the things you're pursuing in the temporary in this world, and I'll give you eternal things that bring more joy than you could imagine. Come to Jesus. Start your walk with Him. Maybe you're here today and you've come to Jesus. You've accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, but you just kind of gotten distracted. You're off out here doing your own thing. You've forgotten the purpose that God saved you for. And you're no longer investing. You're all about me and mine. You're taking care of what you need to take care of and make sure you're comfortable and making sure you have a nice retirement, making sure you have all the nice toys and all the stuff. And your life somehow, some way, has just kind of worked itself around to being all about me again. And you've forgotten your purpose, the reason God saved you. Maybe today, if you're saved and you know that that's where you are, maybe today is the day you need to say, Jesus, I've kind of got off track. I'm out here doing my own thing. God, I want to come back and I want to get in step with you. I want to start living for the purpose you saved me for. I want to start trading the temporary for the eternal. I want to trade my simply existence and just trying to make it through till I die and get to heaven. I want to make my life count for eternity. God, today, I'm getting back under your authority. I'm going to start walking with you today. And maybe you're here and you feel like you're right where God wants you to be, and you're walking along good. You're not perfect, but hey, you're doing pretty good. I'm going to ask you, who are you investing in? See, the church, we're supposed to invest in people, but we is the church. And if you aren't investing in anybody and I'm not investing in anybody, guess what? The church ain't either. Because the church cannot do what the members will not do. So I want to ask you, if you feel like you're doing pretty good, who are you investing in? What relationships are you intentionally trying to develop? Who are you trying to help without any strings attached? Not saying, hey, I've helped you, so you come to church. No, you just help them and love them. Inject Jesus in every conversation, every situation you can. Are you doing that? If you are, awesome, keep it up. If you're not, let's trade. Let's trade our existence for a purpose and see what God will do. Let's stand. Lord God, we come to you today just to say thank you. Thank you for the fact that you invested in us through maybe our parents, through an aunt or an uncle, through a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, a friend, somebody that walked alongside us and began to show us how you make a difference in lives. Start telling us and inviting us to follow Jesus. Start telling us and inviting us to do things that matter. And Lord, then you invited us to surrender our lives. But somehow, some way, God, we've kind of relegated that to the church. If we just invite them to church, we've done enough. It's a preacher's job. Oh God, we've missed it. Lord, today I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives and you'd convict us, you'd redeem us, you'd use us for your glory. Have your way in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.